Whether we say sin is transgression or error, departure from the right or missing the mark, failure to meet the divine standard or trespass, the intrusion of self-will into the sphere of divine authority, or lawlessness, which is spiritual anarchy, or unbelief, insult to divine veracity, still we know that sin, which originated with Satan and entered the world through Adam, was and is universal, except in Christ alone. When sin reigns, sin is your deadliest state, and your soul's state is deplorable when sin reigns. Sin, insidious like disease, runs like rot. Sin darkens your understanding, defiles your conscience, and hardens your heart. Sin disorders all the affections God wishes you to maintain. Sin puts your soul, I say, under the sentence of God to eternal wrath. But from sin's ruin, you can get relief. You would want to know where to go and by what means you could get relief if you had some dread disease. Would you like to know where relief is to be found as to your sin for you? Listen to me. It is in God's forgiveness. Sin is death. God's forgiveness is God's acceptance of the crimson corn of Christ's blood is payment for that debt. Sin is a cloud. God's forgiveness is the sun that dispels the cloud. Sin is stain. God's forgiveness is the bloodbath which washes the stain away. Sin is a burden. God's forgiveness is the removal of that burden. Sin is a corpse, as Paul says, the body of death. God's forgiveness is the burial of that corpse in the sea's depths, never to know resurrection. Sin is poison. God's forgiveness is the antidote. Sin is captivity. God's forgiveness is freedom from that captivity. Sin is a blotted and blurred record. God's forgiveness is the erasure of that record. Sin is death. God's forgiveness is Christ's meritorious life substituted for your forfeited life. What relief to experience the truth that where sin abounded, grace doth much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life for you by Jesus Christ our Lord, who is set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins, that God might be just and the justifier of him who believeth in Jesus. I ask you to think with me just a bit right now of the sinner's Savior. Maybe you've not thought much about him in these recent days or months or years. Well, be fair with me right now and sit still and let me think with you and you think upon Christ a bit. You have no remedy for your sin, but in the sacrificial death of Christ, who appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and to whom is given the only name under heaven among men whereby you must be saved. And this remedy in Christ is available. Available how? By faith. Because through Christ is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all you who believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Christ died for your sins. The Lord hath laid on him your iniquity. God hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for me, for you, that you, that I, might become the righteousness of God in him. From sin's death, how is a sinner? How are you to be made alive from bondage so galling and servitude so severe? How are you, a captive, made free? Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth is passed from death unto life. That's how. John said, God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That's how. Paul says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That's how. Jesus Christ, the everlasting source of human salvation, is your Savior through faith in him. He only by weight consistent with the character of God can break the power which holds you in chains, can avert the punishment which threatens you, can fortify with fresh sanctions the law which you have broken, and reconciling justice with mercy open to you the fountains of grace. Through Christ, the law is vindicated, the holiness of God doubly honored, and mercy offered you, because Christ receiveth sinful men. And you are included in that expression, sinful men. The sinner's Savior received the wages of sin which he never earned, that you might have eternal life which you never deserved. Christ went to the pit that you might sit on his throne, went into awful gloom that you might enter into glory, was sold that you might ransomed be, was unjustly judged that you might escape the severity of God's judgments. Christ was scourged that by his stripes you might be healed. Christ became for you on the cross all that God must judge, that you, through faith in Christ, might become all that God cannot judge. The sinner's Savior, the perfectly righteous one, was judged as unrighteous, that you, the unrighteous one, through faith in him, might be judged as righteous. The sinner's Savior stood before God with all your sins upon himself, that you might stand before God with none of your sins upon yourself. Isn't that wonderful? Let me tell you of the Squalus and the Sculpin, two submarines in the United States Navy. When the Squalus crew realized that they had taken their last dive and that they were lying helpless at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, 240 feet below the surface, they sent up smoke flares and a buoy. Would one of the ship's sister ships find them, and if so, could they be rescued? Their help must come from above. In agonizing silence, they waited. Soon after that fatal dive, the submarine Sculpin sent out in search. The red smudge was found, and then the buoy. But 24 hours passed before actual rescue work could be started. A giant 10-ton diving bell dipped and rose again and again, each time taking several men alive from those awful depths, until all 33 men who were alive in the submarine had been rescued. When that huge diving bell came down for the Squalus crew, not one sailor refused to be rescued, but all gladly accepted the way to safety. When the Sculpin went down and sent down the 10-ton diving bell, not one of the 33 men said, "Well, I'll think it over," or "They're hypocrites on the Sculpin, and I want nothing to do with them." Not one said, "I'll wait for a more convenient season to be rescued." Not one said, "I'm in good condition as I am," or "I will wait until I get married," or "There's too much to give up." Not one said, "I'm too busy to want rescue," or "I'm waiting for a loved one," or "I do not understand the workings of the diving bell." Not one said, "Sometime I will." Not one said, "I don't feel like being rescued," or "Tomorrow I will ask rescue." Not one of them found fault with the Sculpin crew as some find fault with a preacher. Not one of them said, "I can't hold out to get to the top." Not one said, "Next week or next year will be soon enough for me to be rescued." All gladly accepted the way to safety. Now listen to me. Don't turn off that radio. Christ is ready to forgive, to save. Only highest willingness is on his part. Will you be wise today to get rid of your sin? Would you continue as an impenitent sinner, nourish your heart as in the day of slaughter? Will you put off this matter of your salvation? Will you treasure up wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God? The day of wrath has not yet come. The day of grace is yours. God will acquit you through Jesus Christ. God declares you free from guilt through your trust in Jesus, whom they hanged on a tree. Who then can condemn you? You're eternally safe against the day of calamity coming, against the day of judgment coming, the day of death coming, the day of Christ coming. Oh, young sinner, come to Jesus. God says, "They that seek me early shall find me, quicker than a speeding wheel turns on axle." Come to Jesus. And you who have long been dead in sin, come quickly out of your grave. The Lord Jesus called you. Come now. Come more quickly than ever wounded man cried for doctor. Come more quickly than ever drowning man reached for a lifeboat. Come today, even while I speak, and Jesus will glorify his name in your salvation. Write me and say that you accept Christ as your personal Savior.
would like a free copy of Dr. Lee's sermon on Sin and the Sinner's Savior, just write to the Baptist Hour, Atlanta, Georgia. This sermon will come to you in tract form for easy distribution to your neighbors. That address again, the Baptist Hour, Atlanta, Georgia. Next Sunday, Southern Baptists will observe Layman's Day, and the Baptist Brotherhood is seeking to have 1 million men at their radios for this program. Dr. Lee will preach at that time on the subject, Needed, Magnificent Men in a Muddled World. The Baptist Hour is a venture in faith, faith in God. Your sincere interest and spiritual support are needed to make it a success. Join hands with our Savior and with your fellow believers in Christ. Help us to spread the Holy Gospel through these weekly programs. Baptist Hour is presented by the Radio Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention as a contribution to the religious life of America. Music was by the Baptist Hour Choir under the direction of John D. Hoffman, with Frank Willingham at the organ. Now let us urge you to go to church tonight and join us next Sunday, same time, same station, for the Baptist Hour. Can make this first Baptist Hour an occasion to remember. Send in your name as one of the multitude who today have helped launch this religious series. Your name and the names of your fellow Christians will be recorded in a huge book of remembrance and placed on permanent exhibit in the Baptist Radio Center. Send your name and address to the Baptist Hour, Atlanta, Georgia, as a permanent reminder of your interest in the cause of Christ.